So today there is a question and we can reflect upon that. There is a letter of Sri Aurobindo which speaks of the doubt about the possibility of help is hardly a rational one, since all the evidence of life. Is this the one? Oh, it's down below about sanskara's part. Okay, toward the end it is there. As for the help, you expect a divine intervention to destroy the doubt, and the divine intervention is possible, but it comes usually only when the being is ready. You have indulged to a great extreme this habit of the recurrence of doubt, the mental formation or sanskara, and so the adverse force finds it easy to throw it upon you to bring back the suggestion. So this is where about the question about mental formation and sanskaras. So there are things we... So what is meant by mental formation is that our mind is a formative power. It's all the time forming images, and it forms images and traps itself into it. And then there are certain formations which... certain things which we have picked up from tradition or from the world around, and we accept it as true and real. And to give an example, for instance, Sri Aurobindo is speaking about intervention. Now there is a whole way of looking at even the existence of God, that he is there sitting as an impersonal witness. And what about our life? It rolls itself on according to the laws of nature. And in that laws of nature, science deals with gross laws and spirituality deals with subtle laws. By subtle laws, it means the law of karma. So God has nothing to do with it. He is there, sitting quietly as a witness. Now this is one of the sanskaras of thought. Now if we accept this proposition, then it prevents the intervention. Why? Because our own mind doesn't believe in it. In the field of medicine, for example, we believe, so many people believe that if I eat this, I will have this illness. We have this belief. Now, even though scientific thought will tell you that it is not true, but still we will say, no, in my experience, it is true. Hota hai. People don't know. Why? Because our mind forms first, it doesn't know reality, but it forms a reality, a kind of construct. And we are trapped in that. So whatever comes, our mind automatically sees it from that lens, angle of vision. I think we were discussing that sometime back. And so it keeps on repeating and justifying itself, because every time it happens, so we say, see, this is how. And one is unable to detach oneself and see that this is not exactly how it is happening or how it has happened. But each time we believe, it becomes stronger and stronger. So here Sri Aurobindo is referring to sanskaras in that way, that from childhood we grow up, and we grow up with certain belief systems. For example, if you do this, it will be harmful. Women going to temple during their periods, as I said, or doing this is going to harm, this is going to bring calamity. If there is a cat crossing, black cat, worse for you. So all these we have picked up as formations, even certain so-called rational beliefs, because reason operates within a range of observation. Reason also can become a trap. Why? Because reason operates within a range of observable phenomena, and the observation is limited by the senses. So there are rational structures, belief systems, supported by reason. And they will keep operating itself, because within that limit, they will operate. And the more we believe in them, the more difficult it becomes for something new, something unexpected to come into this world. And yet, the beauty of this world is that the new and the unexpected does happen. I often give this example, classical example is of flying. So when flight took place, Wilbur Wright, at least in modern times, the two Wright brothers, who were considered to be wrong by their own parents, because it was believed that this will be an invention of, it is not acceptable. According to the Christian understanding, it is a work of the devil. It is not possible. And though Da Vinci had conceived it 500 years back, but their own parents, same thing happened with Darwin when he gave his theory, his own parent, his own wife almost disowned him. How can evolution be? God had created everything within 6 days. and the seventh day he rested. So the moment you say evolution, you are contradicting that basic tenet. Now I'm not going into how both can be true, but that part. The point is that because we have these formations, we do not look at life the way we should look. So very often people give this example that you should be realistic. So what is realistic? Realistic is to see the real. Then you have the realistic. So first find the real vision, the real understanding. So that's why in certain yogas, and even in this yoga it happens, that you have to get rid of this whole cobweb in which our thought is caught. One example, when people came to ashram, one of the things was there, then it was not an ashram in the beginning. How can a French lady be a yogi? Now what is it? This is our own habit of belief. And one of the places the mother remarks about it, she says, if the divine wants to manifest in a body that is European, who prevents him? Now on the one side we say that the divine is all freedom. He is not limited to our thought. But we limit ourselves with our thought. The same thing from on the other side of the globe. So because of that, there is so much conflict. So one of the things that happens in this yoga, and people often use terms like mental silence or breaking of these formations. Sri Aurobindo had this experience by rejecting all the thoughts. Mother had it when she was sitting at the feet of Sri Aurobindo. And suddenly all the structures gave way. So there comes a time in yoga when because it's not easy to push away the thoughts and achieve silence, just by the sheer grace of the Divine Mother, by opening to her, because she's infinite consciousness. All structures, theories, systems, beliefs are finite. By their very nature, they are finite. So the touch of the infinite frees us from them. Now, why doesn't it free straight away the whole world? Because it will be too dangerous. You know, the freedom of God is too dangerous. Sri Krishna stands on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and when he said, I am time the destroyer. Can you imagine if there were advisors to him who said, sir, please don't see this, it will come in BBC, they will say Krishna is bad guy. Isn't it? All the news channels would have picked up only that sentence. Even now they pick up. See, we told you, Krishna is not a god. See, he is destroying everybody and everything. Even he is showing you in advance through some advanced television technology. But Krishna is not bothered about it. Because he knows it is the truth. The infinite consciousness acts on the basis of truth. Now, millenniums have passed. People may still have debates about, whether Krishna did the right thing or not. But the heart of man knows Krishna and worships him as God. See, this is the difference between the action of the infinite consciousness. But again, if we turn it into a dogma. So dogma will be, see, Krishna said you can kill anybody. Now that's a dogma. It's a complete misunderstanding of what Sri Krishna stands for. He is neither asking us to kill nor to not kill. He is asking us to act according to the law of truth at a given point of time. This law of truth doesn't unfold like a mechanical rule book. On the left side you say good, on the right side you say bad and act. At each moment, even in the same individual, at different stages it unfolds differently. What is good at one point of time, because it helps you to evolve, becomes a hindrance. So same thing with sanskaras and mental formations. They help us at a point of time to navigate through life. So the conceptions of good and bad, for example, right and wrong. We all know that, anybody who has read a little bit about spiritual literature or has some experience knows that they are relative things. And you don't even need to read spiritual literature. You go to, say, a European country. So you will see the way people dress. And what will they tell you? They say, this is normal. If we dress like that, see, kulachana, kulta. Isn't it? Same thing with ways. Now, these are ways of, behaving or external things which people pick up. It has nothing to do with our inner truth. But the thing is, of course, the outer being should express your inner truth. That's a different story altogether. But in different places, at different points of time, there are different things which are regarded as right. And this right changes as things evolve and grow. So we must understand, we all know that right and wrong, good and bad, there was a time when publicly crucifying human beings, even a godlike human beings, was regarded as right. And not only that was regarded as right, the whole people would come and witness like a tamasha, burning on the stake, Joan of Arc, was considered a right. Nobody questioned it. But
we all know something in the heart says this is not what how it should be. So there is a relative utility when we are like completely in ignorance. Then we need a mental conception of what is possible, what is not possible, what can be, what cannot be. Even this idea of an impersonal God who cannot intervene into your affairs. Even the idea of the karmic law. If you do good, you will get good. If you do bad, you will get bad. Now, you know, it prevents people from breaking the limits of the human boundaries. But it is not true. It is a helpful formation at a given stage. But if you want to go to another level where you want to realize what is true, and you will come across a point will come in your life when you will see with open eyes that it doesn't hold true. So then you have to graduate to a greater truth. So mental formations and sanskaras are like that. They help us at a stage. It's like Bahya Puja. You go and break a coconut, you feel God is happy. For all you know, he may be feeling either very amused or feeling disgusted with the kind of, you know. But people do it and they feel very happy that God is happy. Whether God is happy or not, one is happy that I have done my bit. I have offered my hairs, so God is happy. God must be wondering, what? Give your ego. So these are all sanskaras. When Sri Aurobindo was asked about certain sanskaras in old tradition which he wants us to leave, he said, for instance, the traditional practice of Sandhya Vandan or five times doing namaz, they are all sanskaras. It has nothing to do with. But in ignorance, it is a helpful thing for a man to at least go to church on a Sunday, then not go at all. Then comes a stage he must challenge it and go through a phase of what is called as healthy agnosticism. Because now he is graduating to another level. And then comes a stage when he is exploring what is real, what is true. So that's how he is telling in this letter, I think it is to Dilip Kumar Roy, that, is it Chaitya? I think it is to Dilip Kumar Roy, where he says that you have this constant habit of doubting for the sake of doubting. So what is doubting for the sake of doubting? When the mind is overactive, you keep on moving in that, you see, people who characteristically doubt for the sake of doubting. It's not a questioning mind which has a quest. So how they will their response will be, you tell them, you know, there is a greater truth than the mind can surmise or the eyes can see. Now this is very clear, isn't it? That you have to go to that level to see it. But the doubting mind will say, yes, what you say is right, but. And that but will be completely irrelevant. So you answer that but. Say, yes, what you say is right, but. So this goes on. This is the mind which is doubting for the sake of doubting. And because of doubt, it comes in the way of the action of the grace. So that's what he's reminding him, that if you don't, if you believe that the grace cannot come and change things, you will be forever tied to your own doubts. And it's like an adverse force, he's saying. It will keep on attacking you. And mother says, for example, that grace can completely cancel karmas. After all, that's why it is grace, no? It's infinite. It is not bound by anything. But it must choose by its own vision. Grace does not choose according to our idea of what it must do and not do. It will pick up an Arjuna and give Gita. Arjuna is a good guy, huh? But he has his own weaknesses. But it will not give the Gita to Bhishma, to Vidura. They missed out. We have now the, you know, Krishna did not give the Gita to the ordinary sadhu sannyasis going their way. But he picked up Arjuna. And then not only picked up, he says, among the Pandavas, I am you. So this is the difference in the action of the infinite consciousness, which our mind wants to act in a finite way according to our ideas and beliefs. But the divine is free and infinite, so he acts according to a different logic. In the closing, we can say that little half a sentence from the live divine, the logic of the finite and the magic of the infinite. So there is a logic of the infinite which is like a magic to us, but it has its logic. But it's a logic based on a vision which we don't have at this point of time. Namaste.